Next agenda item is audience participation. I see we've gone from 126 down to...
We've worn them down.
Two.
Louise, come up with something.
Sorry.
And Everett, you must have something to say.
It's good to see you here.
It's good to see you here.
Yeah.
Both of you sticking this out, I'm impressed.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
And this is very, very typical meeting. It goes anywhere from 3.5 to, I think our record is, what, 8? 8 hours?
Yeah, we brought sleeping bags.
Yeah.
They lie.
So at the 6 hour, we all get IVs. You know, that's cool.
4.5
Did you bring dinner, Michael?
What's that?
Did you bring dinner for us all?
I did, but I ate it when I took that break. Okay.
Okay.
A little levity. It comes easier as you get tired, doesn't it? Oh, that's cool. Okay, unfinished business, our usual committee reports, CCC, anything there?
Warren? I gave up my seat
just for the
to
one
him,
meeting.
And then they canceled the next meeting.
Yeah, it's just for the one meeting.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, for the one meeting, and you did something, they canceled the next meeting. I don't know what you did, but that was fine. No, Marianne had something else on her agenda, they canceled the meeting.
Yeah, I heard that Mark provided them lunch, and they didn't want to come back. Is that true, Mark? Okay. That's a bad joke.
The hypoglycemia is getting too...
Helipad, anything you want to mention there, Mark?
So, it's been 4 months since East Island Medical Center has been apprised of the interest to explore the subject. And frankly, nothing really has happened. There's been an expressed desire on the part of Tom Cable, speaking for the CCC, to establish a helipad study group of their own. That's been 6 weeks, pinged him, and he says it's a low priority. So my view is patient care needs to be top of the list, and there's a reason why helipads are co-located with emergency departments across the nation and country, that's to say in the world. There's a reason why, and if we're delaying exploration of that subject, then I don't think that we're doing our part. We need to step up the game a little bit, and hence the request to the chiefs to have a letter expressing their perspectives regarding this helipad. It's a basically zero-cost option for Peace Island Medical Center to let this happen. But it may be they have other interests in the property that they're protecting, and tying it to a broader review of the development plan is just, it's really foot-dragging. And I get that. There's other places they can build on their extensive property. But the helipad adjacent to an EV makes a lot of sense, and there's a lot of local support for it. The helipad study group, which is not the CCC group that is yet to be established, is standing basically waiting for something to happen. So we need to kind of break this loose somehow and open suggestions, but I think we need to express concern about Mary Ann's rather dismissive statement in her letter regarding subsidy agreement 2.2.2 subjects that we submitted to her. And what form that takes and whatnot, it's open for discussion.
One of the questions that I had, in fact, that's what I was asking Beth to respond to, and I asked her, I said, you know, for that I wrote it down even, has the work group been established, and if not, what's the date expected? And the second question was, does Peace Health have the information package presented to the PhD board during whatever meeting, and I had to find out what month it is.
Yes, they do.
So if they do, they already have all the information.
That's correct.
So that's what, so those are the questions that I was planning to send back to Mary Ann.
Please do.
So maybe we'll get some answers. But they did say, Beth did say, that they're basically holding off on that and everything else because of the master facilities plan.
Yes.
So that might be one of the things they come back with.
Well, they already have.
So yeah, here.
The question is that acceptable with respect to patient care here in San Juan Island, in this district? And my view is maybe not.
I agree with Mark. I'm an advocate of the helipad, have been for years. That's number one. Part of the record. The battery's still going good. Number two, it's been an inordinate amount of time. I don't like that. I think it's totally inappropriate. I have taken the initiative to talk to the regional CEO, and that's Dale Zender, with regards to not only my feelings, but also the subcommittee's feelings that have been conveyed to me via email individually. their frustration of having sat and waiting for many, many, many months. And I have been assured that this will be addressed. Matter of fact, a return phone call I will receive before I leave in 2 days. And if I don't, I'll report that to the board as well. But this deserves to be addressed. It's standard, it's usual, and customary, and standard. If indeed, did they want to accommodate affordable housing on campus, and I was one of the co-founders of Peace Island Medical Center, I know every square yard of that property. There's tons of property south of the wetlands that Beth alluded to, tons. And it was actually earmarked for secondary buildings, and you know, in 2005. So they don't have to go up there and cut down all those trees, which, you know, they love those trees, to build affordable housing and then violate the potential for a helipad. So time's a wasting. I've been assured that this deserves due and proper review, and I'd like to see it.
So Dale Zender said that he would be responding in a certain timeline?
Yes, before I left, and okay. I'm leaving in 2 days.
Great.
So it's a matter of record, and there you have it.
And if we want to see
it happen, personal.
I think we need to push a little bit. So.
And in addition to talking to Chief Collins, with regards to not only Fire District 3's opinion, for or against, I have no idea what their opinion is. Maybe they don't have one. But also, a third party is support. And I know that that Fire District 3 has had a very intense negotiation, very amicable negotiations with the port. And if perhaps if they are affirmative in terms of supporting this project, they share it with the port. Okay.
Nothing on integration steering because we talked about that at the workshop for an hour, so I don't think I can say any more words.
Good. That's the kind of word I like. We already talked about it.
So one of the things that Rebecca added to the agenda is the discussion of the loss of Islanders Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation. That is a private practice that was established many, many, many years ago. Matter of fact, Joyce Thompson was, part of the steering committee for Peace Island Medical Center. This is 2005 and before. So that it has been a major asset for our community in the name of PT and rehabilitation, akin to Bert Gossam's private practice. Unfortunately, it's closing its doors on September 13th of this year. After inability to sell the practice for many years. So as one board member, and if the board wants to chime in and support my opinion, I would like to thank Joyce Thompson for her long service to this community and wish her well. She and her husband looking forward to into their future. So
it's a motion. Second.
Yeah, I always, when I get emotional, I always give really weird motion, but it's a motion, yes. Just like with the Bert Gossam motion.
Okay.
You'd never know it. Is that a second?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion, support?
No, I'm ready to vote.
Huh?
I'm ready to vote. I've got my hand up on a yes.
Oh, I thought you raised a left hand for a yes.
Is no? This,
you're
is
looking this at me in a mirror. This is my left hand.
You're getting
hypoglycemic.
I am. I'm
not. Yeah. Let's go on. We're not here 5 hours.
Is the support in form of a letter that we're going to send out?
Yes, of course.
Okay, got it.
It has all the missing parts of my previous motion.
Okay, fine.
And thanks for reminding me.
I make it, and we have Becky write the letter.
I was going to say,
not me.
Right, yeah.
Who's supposed to write this letter?
You. Okay.
Me? Okay, and then go away.
Just like before.
Write that down.
Okay, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Also, I suggest we research and post on the website available physical therapy resources that are still out there. There's private practitioners. So one I could name is Chris Havel, H-A-V-E-L.
So where is this, Mark?
He's in practice. I'm not sure where.
Out of his home.
Okay.
Where, Chris?
Out of his home.
Oh, really?
Oh. Do we
also
want to
do
that?
Do insurance.
What's that?
Do we want a list? I mean, does a PhD want a list of
I mean, that would be saying that we know their credentials and we know of them and we know they're good, and I mean, we put that out.
There could be a caveat. It doesn't mean necessarily standing behind, but these people are in the community. It's a making known community resources to be vetted by individuals using those resources.
So I would prefer to pipe that through the online database at this part and parcel of the CHNA project and the CHIC project, because you know all the practitioners and all the disciplines are there listed and are accessible by folks, and not get involved sort of an implied advocacy of whoever that we don't know.
Pam.
We have a vulnerable populations meeting on Friday morning. I can bring that up there.
Please.
Okay.
Agree with that, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We could just reference it. It's a CHNA originating list of providers. I'm not sure that Havel is on it, but anyway.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Perfect. So we have the revised budget, new business, which is in the name of Resolution 19-511, revised 2019, Seminole on Emergency Medical Services budget. Carl and Chris.
I'm going to defer to Chris. So this budget is, there's not a lot of substantial changes to this budget. It's adjusting mostly to revenue projections based on how we've been able to get a pretty good determination of how much we expect to flow in through the GEMT program, as well as through ACH for the rest of the year. So and then I made just a few other adjustments for what for where payroll is and the related benefits along with that. So just this first page here that gives you just kind of a summary of it. If you look right down, you know, salaries are just turing up. It's about $14,600. The rest of it is all just pretty much mathematical going down. The personnel benefits would just be the medical and all that, getting that trued up to where we expect it to be with our current staffing. This big $112,000 increase in the non-personnel operating expenses, the vast majority of that is related to a payment we had to make to get the big, you know, they basically sold it almost like a Ponzi scheme, you know, like give us $93,000 and we guarantee you you'll get a 4x return on your investment in 2 months. There's that payment in there that we need to put on the budget. the big chunk you'll see is really that it, on the revenue side, and we've got $710,000 that we're expecting over what we had budgeted due to the GEMT, and then the ACH funds coming in. The final thing, I guess, on there, there's the $14,500 for the public hospital district reimbursement. But here's what I'd like to point out. If you go all the way down to the bottom of this sheet, you'll see where we're basically allocating out cash and budgeting to allocate cash out at the end of the year.
What page are you on?
Right on this very first page.
All of the first,
page
on the second page.
Budget.
This page.
So it's page 3 in my thing? Is that correct?
It's page 1.
Page
so go past the resolution. It's the first page behind the resolution.
It's on the resolution. It's part of the resolution.
Flip that up, and there's page 1.
It looks like
page
this.
One.
It says page 3.
Okay.
So,
did he not get page 1?
Here.
It's the first page, but it's page 3.
It's this page.
And it's not page 1.
It's that page.
We missed
that
page.
No.
You,
throw
you
that
got,
way.
I printed them wrong the first time, and I thought I had to fix
okay,
all of them.
Okay, that's fine. I'm cool.
All right. So what I'd like you to look at under this amended budget column here is down at the bottom, there's the how we allocate everything out to ending cash. We had originally budgeted that we'd end the year with about $585,000 in cash. We're now budgeting that we're going to end the year with about $1,650,000 in cash, which is substantial, obviously. So part of that is because
that's GEMT and ACH.
That really does have a lot to do with it. We finished the year in 2018.
Thank you.
With we had net, you know, net income or, you know, positive cash flow of $340,000, which was more than we had expected. But so in terms of where we were starting with our cash, and then this year we're probably going to have about another $830,000 of positive cash flow. So what are we going to do with that? This is where, as Carl said, we're trying to be very fastidious. And there has been a lot of deferred costs in this agency over the past several years due to real tight budget constraints and other issues. So as you'll see here on that line, there's an equipment reserves number now of $800,000. And we've looked at what are the capital needs, and there's a lot of capital needs that have been pushed out. So the very last page of this budget, basically just showing you the very front page and the very back page, but the very back page, page 12, has a five-year capital needs assessment that mostly this is all from data from Paul that does the maintenance of the vehicles, of kind of when these vehicles are need to be replaced. And so for the ambulances, we've got another 8-unit that's going to need to be replaced that's going to be 25 years old or 23 years old. There's another one in 2022. The Sprint rigs are all kind of coming due.
Old age.
Yeah, just old age. Also, the our life packs, the defibrillators are going to be coming due as well. And then finally, we've got the Codan thing rolling out. So if you add up all this expected investment over the next 10 years, including some contingency stuff, you know, we're looking at around $650,000 to $700,000. So by allocating some of this money over into a reserve for capital investment, that will give us basically allow us to make some of those acquisitions as needed.
And if I could just interject as well, the reason we wanted to put that into reserve is because if we're going to, if and when we pursue this integration, our response model may be different. Maybe we don't need four ambulances. Maybe we don't need three Sprint rigs. So by having it in reserve and planning for it as if we were to standalone and status quo, I think we're doing our due diligence, but we're not going to pull the trigger until we know exactly what that response model is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. I think that's smart, Carl. I really do.
No, I agree.
And we're looking at $900,000.
Are you looking
here?
For?
What's that?
We're looking at $900,000 here spread out for the.
Yeah, but if you back out,
890,
that, that includes about $100,000 of contingency each year. That's just kind of a. Just
so we're not
case.
Fully funding the whole fight.
I'm not counting the contingency.
Rollout. I'm looking for a motion.
That contingency adds up to about $105,000.
I'm looking for a motion.
Well, when they stop.
No, they just, yeah.
Yeah. So,
was there any other things that you wanted to highlight?
I think that's it. In terms of the major highlights, if you look at, you can really take a deeper dive into what our revenue is looking like with the on page 3. In terms of there's a section there where we show kind of where our ambulance revenue we expect to be coming in at, and also we're going to be shifting because of all this cash, and we really haven't done much shifting over into the local government investment pool, that where we get a higher investment interest rate. So for something, if we're going to put more money over there, so we're not just having, so we don't just have, you know, almost $1 million sitting in a checking account.
Do you then? I move resolution 19-511, a resolution of San Juan County Public Hospital District, No. 1, setting the revised 2019 budget for San Juan County Island Emergency Medical Services.
As written. I second that.
I have discussions here.
Totally.
I mean, I got questions. So please. What is, sure. Page 2, we have non-personnel operating expenses at 18% over what it was. What are non-personnel operating expenses?
That's the that's that gigantic $96,000 that we had to pay
to the HCA to get
our money back out.
That's $112,000.
Yeah, it's $96,413. So that's on page 8.
Okay.
So that's a substantial portion of that.
So all these things that say budget detail, oh, I say budget detail, you're saying look in it, see notes, okay. Go ahead, Mark.
So page 1, line 11, personnel benefits, it says $27,634. Then on page 4, under personnel benefits, the total is $21,700. I'm wondering why it's different. It's the increase is $21,700. Versus 27.6.
That difference is due to, that is just, that 21.7 is just for the administrative side. It doesn't include the, so where do you see the, sorry. So you're saying the $27,634 for personnel benefits. That is, that covers both the operations and the administrative. So, and outreach. So if you look at it by, if you look on page 2, so page 1, I know this can be a little confusing. Page 1 is basically to match how we report things out to the county, which includes beginning cash and ending cash, so that it balances. Page 2 is kind of a repeat of it, but it shows, it really demonstrates where our change in cash is, like our net operating income and such. Looks at it from an income statement standpoint. And so there you'll see that, once again, there's that 27,634 is a combination of personnel benefits from administration, operations, and outreach together. And then if you look down below on page 2, there's also by the actual functions. We have administrative, we have operations, the ground ambulance, injury prevention, outreach, and facilities down below. So then everything kind of just goes into detail by every account, every bar's account. But the substantial portion of all this, really the big chunk of those changes in the benefits, really hits in the calculation of for the retirement benefits. And I think what happened was, as I recall, basically there was an error in how much that was calculated to be for on the original budget we didn't calculate in how much the retirement contributions would need to be for the administrative staff. There was just a calculation error in that.
Okay, so
because the salaries really haven't changed by much.
So the $27,634 is the real number that we're talking about here with respect to the personal benefits?
The combined number.
Yeah, that's combined. The increase in the combined benefits. So okay. Retirement, medical insurance, all that stuff.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. I know this, we've spent a lot of, a few years ago, we spent a lot of time and effort trying to make this, give you basically the front end pages are kind of a summary. And then because really when you start getting in line by line, we have a lot of lines and it's very easy to get lost in the details. And so trying to give you a broader picture.
And as you mentioned earlier, Carl, embedded in this is the halftime salary, $30,000, correct?
We had planned on that. We had also planned
it's in here, right?
Where? Mm-hmm.
That would be.
You said it was.
In the. Where would that be?
Page 4.
Page salaries and wages.
It'll be in page 10. Page 10. We show that there's, well, it says community EMT, that I didn't change that line.
I understand.
Anyway, that there's 10,400, which would basically cover the time for
the second half
of the
year. The remaining portion of this year. So October,
So at least for 2019, you're not going to pay benefits, I take it. You said you'd like to.
Well,
but right now we're not going to.
Right now it's calculated as being like a part-time position where they wouldn't be eligible for benefits.
Okay, fine.
So page 4, executive assistant.
Yeah.
It says one FTE. 20, who is that?
That's
Heather
now.
Okay, so that's Heather.
But keep in mind we've had kind of a succession of them this year. So
Heather's staying.
She's promising.
She's having dinner.
Yeah, she's out. She's gone. So again.
So that's why this is kind of cattywampus a little bit on determining the executive assistant salary.
Okay. So we're talking the personnel benefits, the PERS, which are 337%.
Yeah, that was an error that I made.
Error. Okay, that's what we were talking about.
When doing this budget. In the last year.
So all of that whole section is going to be screwy?
Just on the PERS.
Okay.
The rest of it doesn't change by much.
So how come, I mean, dental insurance, health reimbursement account,
that all changes pretty small. And actually for the rest of the year, the insurance rates went down a little bit.
Oh, you're right. You're looking at lower dollars. Never mind. I was looking at more. Mobile cell service and data internet, Rock Island, that's because they increased their...
And I think part of that was the change we had originally when we set up these services, we were using Verizon as a provider and AT&T as a backup. We realized that AT&T wasn't much help for us out here. Switched that over to T-Mobile. And so now most of the phones that are agency owned use the T-Mobile service. The mobile hotspots have dual card capability, so whatever signal is stronger, we thought at this point in time, until we have a more proven track record with T-Mobile service here on the island, let's maintain both. Every time I approve the warrants, I kind of shake my head a little bit. It's very large expenditure that we're having for kind of dual coverage. And it's definitely something we have to look at as we move down the road.
How come our county administrative services for payroll processing has gone up so much?
The county raised the bill. The county raised the
county
prices.
Mm-hmm. Their cost, they just do a cost analysis of what their costs are and how it's split out.
Yeah, it's just like elections.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay.
Mark, do you have anything?
Take your time, folks.
Well, this is a big
no, really, I'm not trying to be cute. It's just, this is a very important thing. And we're tired.
What I want to know is we had originally in the administrator's salary, we had taken Chief Martin's service package and given it a specific line.
Yeah.
As those payments were made at the county, that change didn't get made. It was added to the same VARS code as far as administrative salary. So rather than doing the ledger entry, we amended the budget to include the salary you're paying me along with the servants being paid Chief Martin and one single line item.
Good.
So you'll see the increase there.
That was
funny. And then there was some overlap time there too.
As well. That was what kind of came out in my mind.
So we have...
And by the way, that's another thing where the chunk that we...
I'm going down to get on the ferry. I'm not waiting until the 10 o'clock ferry.
Well, get out of here then. We had a quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6:30.
He asked him. He's got a ferry to catch.
Okay.
He's being very patient. Okay.
Okay, go, bye.
Yeah, you have a quorum. And you're going to pass it anyway, so.
I don't know. I haven't been advanced.
Well, you may not. And then I'll vote on it the next time.
I'm still thinking about it.
But even if you don't pass it, my being here is not going to make it pass because it would be 2-2. And that doesn't pass.
Oh, so you did the math ahead of time.
I did the math ahead of time.
Okay. Thanks, Warren.
I have no further questions personally, Rebecca.
Well, I do. I'm asking about this. So the wages, the paramedics overtime, and the EMT overtime, so the PT overall, we're assuming 90% of base. What is that? Does that mean?
We're assuming that out of the base salaries, the EMTs, that we're going to be paying about 9% of what their base pay is in overtime.
So that's just an assumption? Because
it's somewhat based on historical.
So the actual for this was 27,000, right, 2018, and now we're saying amended budget it's going to be 34. So that's based on increases in salaries.
It's based on having full-time, more full-time.
Yes. Okay. Well, this just says paramedics. Oh, we got two lines. Never mind.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
There's paramedics and
a separate line for that. Okay.
Yeah, we're nowhere.
And the. The issue is that the I really should just combine that because that's how the they're combined together on the VARS code, yeah. So
okay. Getting down there, I'm only two more pages.
No, this is great. And I'm not being facetious.
Dispatch services went up, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're still working on boat fees, are we not?
Sorry?
Boat fees. Sheriff's boat fees.
Yeah, we haven't really used it.
We're in the process of trying to
figure that out because we are not partners with that boat. That decision was made. And so anytime, and we haven't been charged yet for any of the calls.
But Fire 3 is pursuing it, correct?
They should be.
Yes.
And there was a training that we did where we wanted our EMTs to have marine safety awareness, so that there will be expenditures on that code.
I love it where it says zero because I don't even have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm in still on page 3.
Yes.
I'm stuck on page 3. I'm looking for page 1.
Oh.
He's
I thought
not.
We'd resolve that problem.
No, Nathan, help me.
Commissioner Schwing?
On month-to-month budgets, I don't mind short notice on these things, but for your remaining and longer periods of time, it's very helpful to have additional time to process the document.
Absolutely. That's on me.
Well, I'm not being accusatory, I'm just, just making a comment. And so I guess I'm ready to move.
I guess I want to ask part of the discussion. This is like we should vote this month. If we put it off another month, that's a big deal, or we can't do that?
Well, you're into 2020, starting 2020's budget process.
So you got to have approval on the 2020.
I mean, it's not a mandatory thing. I mean, is it no, but...
You practically can't. What you don't want to do is mix two budgets together.
Yeah, but it's not a good idea. It's not best practice, okay. For sure.
I veto that.
Yeah. And the thing is I mean, this is
you can't do it.
It's not like the biggest thing that we're adding in here is,
I asked all the questions I needed. It's just that I had like 15 minutes to go through it. So that's all, but I don't.
That's on us.
That's okay. I just looked at the percentages.
I think the fundamental thing to point out on this is that there's really only two things we're sticking on here that would be any sort of major, that there's only, well, really there's just one thing we're changing in here that would be a significant change to what the original budget set out for, and that's just adding that extra position. The rest of it is really just updating based on our projections for revenue side, and then that $96,000 we had to pay out to get our 400 some odd thousand that we're going to get.
And the extra position is, I mean, it makes it much easier because Chief Collins has also talked about it, and it'll be a full-timer unless something really weird happens. So mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that then. We'll be splitting a person. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be hiring a new one next year on top of that person.
Don't say that.
Okay, I'm ready. You want to call for it?
Let me think about it a while.
I'll call for a vote. I'm calling for a vote.
You can.
Oh, damn.
Not in the presence of the chair. The chair
okay,
is sitting
I'm
here
sorry.
Being grumpy. Of course, we call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 So we're still going to process the.
Yes. Doctrine. So even though it's intrinsic to the revised 2019 budget, it's only yes. for the remaining months in 2019, right?
Correct.
Looking at 2020, we need to have Dr. Mark's motion. Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I hate to be a stick in the mud, but just a mild procedural thing. Warren Appleton moved that this resolution be adopted, and he subsequently left. Could we perhaps have one of you move instead?
I'll move.
Just to make sure there's no procedural challenge on that.
And I second it, and I'll second
and
it again.
Second.
Okay. Even though it's Rebecca, with reticence, I second it.
Okay.
And no further discussion. Call for
thank
vote.
You,
all
Chair.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you adjourn, under unfinished business, you had integration steering committee.
That yeah,
was
but
a
that was
workshop.
What?
That was all about the workshop.
Oh, yeah, it was. It had already yeah. been okay. covered
you were
between
here
2 and 3.
I was.
Okay.
But I was just wondering if something was supposed to happen.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Rebecca
you.
Said it had been covered and the
yeah.
board concurred.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
But thank you.
Thanks.
So now we need a motion with respect to the outreach projects report and the proposed addition of a position.
Correct. A half-time
yes.
position.
Yeah, it's a half-time
yes,
position.
Correct.
It's 0.5
yeah,
position. Well,
I guess it doesn't, and that's why it's a drought. So let's fix that.
Budget, and it doesn't matter. You can execute
it.
I was going to say, it's built into the budget.
Well, but that only covers 2019, Chris. 2020 is a new ballgame.
True.
And we're budgeting that as well.
Yes.
Well, if we're talking about a two-year term, which I think is very reasonable, mm-hmm. then, it's kind of set in stone for 2 years. Yeah. I think it needs that security, although I'm jumping down in discussion period here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, it's actually, it's material to the motion itself, so it's important
true.
We discuss this beforehand mm-hmm. avoid having these,
okay.
these half-baked resolutions.
Well, you brought, either you or Carl brought up term limits, 2 years.
Yeah.
With all the unknowns out there, I think that that's smart. Okay. I think 2 years is a pretty reasonable time frame to sort out all these contingencies we potentially have between now and then with the integration of fire through, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you could include that as part of your motion, I think that would be great.
And, okay. and to that, and so the ACH money is what we're using, and the ACH money for 2 years is what, the rest of this year and all of 2020?
There's another payment for it will be 2020 and 2021.
Okay, so it
sure, we're covered.
So it can be 2 years, and so yeah, great.
The ACH dollar amounts are not necessarily
going. No, but we have been assured of 80% of what we've gotten out, that the ACH has given assurances that of what we expected to, what we have been paid in past years, we can pretty much guarantee 80% of that.
Is that 1 or 2 years worth?
That's for the assurance I got was for the next year.
Okay.
Not necessarily for the final year.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay, so I move to establish a new position, an outreach administrative assistant position, a 0.5 FTE, of a term of 2 years, to serve in a clerical and administrative support role.
Community paramedicine?
Outreach.
Is that outreach?
Yeah,
is
outreach,
public
outreach
part
of administrative medicine.
Okay. Includes other duties as well.
Okay.
I'll second.
Very good. Discussion?
I think it's
a great idea in the face of all that what you said earlier between 2 and 3 today, including Chief Collins, about he's a champion of community paramedicine and being proactive. I think it's a terrific idea.
Laney is heavily laden and he'll unload her.
Yeah,
too, so.
Exactly. Okay, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes.
Three.
Yeah, I guess so. Everybody's.
That's why you were hesitated, huh?
Well, I'm tired. But I do want to set the record. We have 3 more minutes to go, and we'll set the record of the longest meeting ever.
For this board, not for ever. 4.5 hours.
Is it?
For the old Williams, Harrington, that board.
That was 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't last
22
minutes. No.
You can start signing.
But for this board, makeup, yes, this is the longest one we've
had.
I apologize.
You know what?
No, it was
the meeting is adjourned.